Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Hannah Pagel. Our guest this week is California Democrat Jim Costa, who joins us to discuss the latest on the Farm Bill, specialty crops, and trade. But first, here's this week's headlines. Grocery store prices fell in April, according to the most recent Consumer Price Index. Prices for milk, chicken, eggs, fruits, and vegetables were all down last month. Those prices offset the growing price for beef, cereal, and bakery products. The overall CPI was up by 0.3% due to higher gasoline and housing prices. USDA announced $250 million worth of funding for community wildfire planning efforts. Funding will go to 158 different projects that focus on wildfire planning and vegetation removal. The funding is part of the Community Wildfire Defense Grants Program, which will invest a total of $1 billion over 5 years to communities that are at risk. There will be a third funding opportunity later this year. And finally, the House Agriculture Committee plans to mark up a farm bill next week. Chairman Glenn Thompson says he wants bipartisan support for the bill, but he has not gotten much support from Democrats who oppose some of his provisions. He still has not released the text of his bill. House Ag Ranking Member David Scott and Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow said in a joint statement this week that Republicans are proposing policies that split the broad bipartisan coalition that has always been the foundation of a successful farm bill. The deepest disagreements continue to be over nutrition spending and conservation programs. Congressman Jim Costa sits on the House Ag Committee and was a part of a meeting on Wednesday with Chairwoman Stabenow. He says when it comes to the farm bill, Republicans have a long way to go to gain more Democratic support.
Well, I thought it was a good meeting to begin with. Certainly, Senator Stabenow has a wealth of experience as chair of the Senate Ag Committee, and of course, her in writing previous farm bills. And that's very important because over half the members of the House Ag Committee, both Democrats and Republicans, have been there for a total of 18 months. So they've never worked on a reauthorization of a farm bill, a markup, and all that goes with it. So we talked about one, process, and two, we talked about details of the 12 titles of the farm bill. And of course, every member has different priorities reflected upon their congressional district, of course. It was a good discussion. We talked about trying to be responsive and on the markup next week in committee, and then see where that will take us toward hopefully getting to a conference committee and getting to produce a bipartisan farm bill that can pass the House and the Senate.
So some of the key differences between the Senate and House farm bill are the cuts to the nutrition title and then the removal of climate guardrails on the Inflation Reduction Act funding for conservation. So given all of that, do you think that there is any room for negotiation on these topics?
We'll see how it works out on the guardrails on the Inflation Reduction Act and whether or not they can be amended in the markup in committee. The same holds true with the Thrifty program on nutrition and whether or not that will be able to be modified in the markup in committee. And also the discretion of the Secretary of Agriculture on CCC funding and whether or not that can be addressed in the markup in the Ag Committee. I will say this, that if we're not able to reach a compromise on those three areas that have already been identified, then I think it's going to be very difficult to get a bipartisan agreement when we complete the markup.
We'll be right back with more from Representative Costa right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. Both the House and the Senate's version of the Farm Bill has increased mandatory funding for specialty crop research. California Democrat Jim Costa says that funding is necessary to support the growing specialty crop industry.
Well, it's very important, and I want to commend the chairman for adding those fundings in the markup for specialty crops, because in California, obviously, we do a great deal of specialty crops. And you couple that with the fact that we've not been able to get the bipartisan Workforce Modernization Act in recent years, because we do have a workforce shortage in agriculture. The investment in modernization and other kinds of tools with our land-grant universities and others is an important investment to make. Also, in terms of seed technology and drought resistance and pest resistance efforts, the story of American agriculture is the incredible innovation that we've been able to do in my own family's farm in California and throughout California. We're at the cutting edge. Think about it. 4% of the nation's population directly involved for putting food and fiber on America's dinner plate every night, which is a national security issue. People forget that. It's a national security issue. And the fact that we're able to do that is in part because of these kinds of investments.
So shifting our conversation a little bit, I want to talk about the organic industry. So tell me a little bit more about what the Farm Bill needs to do to support the organic industry.
Well, I think over the last two farm bills, I've felt that we have made increased investments for organic farming. And I think that really reflects an understanding that the American consumer has changed their dietary habits. I think there's more interest in organic food products on our grocery shelves. And I think there's not only a market for it, but I think that there are a lot of producers throughout the country that are interested in producing these kinds of high quality valued food products for the American public, and therefore providing additional support in organic farming, I think, is an important commitment that we make for not only American agriculture, but for American consumers.
So President Biden announced this week that the U.S. is going to place tariffs on China's electric vehicles, batteries, steel, and aluminum. Do you think that this could cause the Chinese government to place retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. ag sector?
That's possible. But the Chinese have not been playing on a level playing field for a long time. It's one of the reasons why I was very supportive, started by Bush and then improved by Obama, the Trade-Pacific Partnership that involved 14 countries to leverage China on their unfair trade practices on not just a host of industrial products, but also on American agricultural products. President Trump decided to change that, withdrew ourselves from the Trade-Pacific Partnership, and begin a process of leveling tariffs. I'm not a big fan of leveling tariffs, whether it's in the previous administration or this administration, because in part, everybody has leverage. And so therefore, your comment or your question, could we expect retaliatory efforts by the Chinese? Certainly, we should not be surprised if that happens. The previous administration, when they started this tariff war, the Trump administration tried to cushion American agriculture by using, again, the discretionary funding from the Credit Commodity Corporation, CCC, the most amount of money that ever any Secretary of Agriculture has used to cushion and put a floor for a lot of the crops that we grow in the Midwest. But, you know, where this ultimately ends up, I don't think anyone can predict at this time.
Do you think President Biden would use money from the CCC to help compensate farmers impacted by the trade war if China does put those retaliatory tariffs on the ag sector?
Well, I think if China decides to engage in a trade war, I think President Biden and Secretary Vilsack will look at every means possible to try to ensure that American agriculture is not singled out and punished as a result of that. I mean, the end of the day, China's a challenge because they're an adversary, they are a competitor, and they are a vast market. And that makes it very difficult when you have this adversary that's a competitor, but also a vast market that doesn't play by the rules under the WTO, the World Trade Organization, or any other rules that they choose on any given day to disregard.
Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with this week's panel discussion. But first, our Andrew Hunneke shows us where specialty crop farms are located in this week's Map It Out.
Data from the most recent Census of Agriculture shows the number of farms in each state that focus on specialty crops. These farms made up 10% of all farm operations. Some examples of specialty crops include vegetables, melons, and fruit and tree nuts. This map breaks down the percentage of farms by county that specialize in specialty crops. You can see most of them are located along the coasts. According to USDA, half of the counties with the highest number of these farms were in California, New York, Florida, and New Jersey. Specialty crops accounted for more than 40% of all farms within 127 counties, and every state had at least one farm that focused on growing specialty crops. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together, we celebrate together, but we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Register now for the 2024 AgriPulse Food and Ag Issue Summit in California. The event will offer participants a full day of presentations and panel discussions. You can hear from members of the California Legislature, food and agriculture leaders, along with industry experts and academics. This summit takes place on June 4th in Sacramento and through our virtual experience. See the latest information and register today under the Events tab at agripulse.com.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we are excited to get into our panel discussion today, where we will be talking all things Farm Bill and the organic industry. Joined this week by Danielle Beck with Invariant and Matthew Dillon with the Organic Trade Association. And Danielle, my first question is to you. So there are many areas of disagreement between the House and Senate version of the Farm Bill, including cuts to the nutrition title and then removing the guardrails of the Inflation Reduction Act funding on the conservation title. Given all of that, do you think that there will be any Democratic support for this bill?
There are a lot of differences that are going to have to be worked through between the House and Senate proposals. I think the timing of Chairwoman Stabenow's proposal aligning with Chairman G.T. Thompson's proposal does make it a little bit difficult because now there are two sort of competing options out there for House Democrats. But at the end of the day, we are creeping, inching closely towards an election. And then back home, members of Congress really have to be considering where their constituents are. And so ultimately voting on a farm bill, passing something, getting it across the finish line is going to be really important. And you really can't get to that process unless we have a bill move through the House and then another one move through the Senate and then a formal conference process. And really the clock is ticking.
So given that then, if the Republicans decide to move forward with their bill, do you think that it will be able to pass on the House floor, or do you think we'll see a shutout on that?
The House of Representatives has dealt with more turmoil and chaos this Congress than I think we've seen in many years past. However, we've got some great leadership. Our Speaker Johnson, Mr. Scalise, Mr. Emmer, they've got a great team, all of whom understand rural America, American agriculture, and they want to get this bill done. There's a lot of really committed folks working hard to shore up support. And I think it's also going to take all of us downtown working to drum up support as well. There's a lot of education that needs to be done between now and whenever we get a farm bill. So I think they won't bring a bill to the floor if it's going to fail. Nobody wants to see that. But with enough work, I think we'll be able to get there.
So I know I'm going to hit you with the golden question here, but what are the chances, do you think, that a farm bill will pass this year, given that it is an election year, Danielle?
You know, I think it would be reasonable to expect the farm bill as a lame duck exercise. You know, Hannah, though, thinking about your previous question about farm bills passing, failing, you know, we've seen a farm bill fail on the floor the last two iterations, and ultimately they've been able to power through and figure it out. Finding that path forward is going to take some time. The clock is ticking, but I do think lame duck probably makes the most sense.
And Matthew, bringing you into the conversation here. So this week was National Organic Week, and your organization was on Capitol Hill advocating for the industry. You know, walk us through what your conversations were like, and what was the main message that you had for lawmakers as you met with them?
Our message is that organic is good for rural economies. It's good for choice for both farmers and consumers. And it is one of the hot and bright spots in the American agricultural economy. We've grown at 11% compound annual growth over 20 years, approaching $70 billion in sales. And in some categories like eggs and dairy, we're 8% of overall sales, 15% of overall sales in produce. So we really believe we're part of the future of agriculture. Millennials and Gen Z are more and more interested even in previous generations. We see a lot of opportunity and growth ahead and want to share that story with our representatives.
And walk us through what your priorities are for the next farm bill.
Yeah, so it's about growth. We see one of the bottlenecks for more producers coming into organic being challenges with aggregation, transportation, processing, and proximity from farm to that infrastructure. In the Organic Transition Initiative, Secretary Vilsack made available $75 million for helping build out that infrastructure. USDA received over almost $220 million in requests. And so we're asking for the Organic Market Development Act to move into this farm bill. We've seen it in the Senate framework. It's not yet in the House. But we're going to be going to the Hill today to talk to our friends on the House and encourage them to support the Organic Market Development Act. That's one of the key drivers. And then secondly, we need to have a more predictable cadence of improvements in regulations. We're a strange industry. We ask to be regulated. Our consumers want transparency and regulation in purchasing organic food. And we need the USDA to be a bit more responsive to evolving business and consumer demands when it comes to the regulations. It took us 18 years to get a pet food regulation. That's too long for the sector. We've missed growth opportunities.
We'll be right back with more from our panel right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. This week was National Organic Week, and the Organic Trade Association was on Capitol Hill to advocate for the industry. OTA's Matthew Dillon explains more of the organization's farm bill priorities.
When you're certified organic, it's from seed to shelf, right? So every node in the supply chain needs to be certified. And one of the challenges, really the bottlenecks in getting more domestic producers online is a lack of infrastructure, from elevators, from on-farm bins, to elevators, to aggregation systems, to rail cars, to processing. So these grants provide funds both for the farmer, up to $100,000 for farmers to do things like add storage or processing capabilities, but also for larger scale aggregators to build out new facilities or expand facilities to have that offtake for the producers. We can't grow without infrastructure growing with us. These are matching fund grants, so the industry also puts money in the kitty as well. But it really is work that provides access for farmers and benefits for rural communities and their economies.
And Matthew, one more for you. So the organic sector has struggled in the past with fraudulent labeling for food and nutrition. Do you think the industry and USDA has that under control now?
I think things are much better. The USDA recently rolled out the strengthening organic enforcement regulations that we got in the last farm bill that requires more verification enforcement throughout the supply chain, especially for import certificates, where we've had some challenges in the past, is with particularly with fraudulent imports. You know, I think it's, this is going to sound strange, but I think it's good news that people talk about fraud and organic. There's no other label, there's no other certification system in food and agriculture that has enforcement and teeth, that has the weight of U.S. law behind it, and sometimes criminal penalties for wrongdoers. And when you get to be a $70 billion industry, you get some bad actors from time to time. But we're pleased with the improved enforcement that the USDA has, and we're asking for even more.
And Daniel, wrapping up our conversation with you. So Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow met with House Democrats this week to talk about the farm bill. Do you see negotiations happening at all between the Democrats and Republicans on the Senate Ag Committee? Or do you see Senator Stabenow strictly negotiating with her House counterparts?
You know, it's my understanding that Ranking Member Bozeman is committed to a bipartisan process, and his staff is working really hard to engage with the chairwoman's staff. Since day one, she has said that she wants this to be a bipartisan bill, setting a pretty ambitious threshold for support in the Senate. And if those commitments made early on remain true, then this should be a good bipartisan process. Again, there's a lot of work that needs to be done between now and whenever we get a bill across the finish line. There's a lot of differences between both bills, but I think there are also a lot of really good things for industry in both proposals. And so ultimately, as long as they can work together and come to a compromise on some of these big differences, everybody stands to win.
Well, there will be a lot to keep our eye on in this upcoming week. So Danielle, Matthew, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, Andrew Hunneke shows us the projected amount of federal direct farm payments for conservation spending in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
USDA's Economic Research Service believes there will be more direct federal payments for conservation programs this year. This chart shows the projected amount of federal direct farm payments for conservation, adjusted for inflation from 1996 to fiscal year 2024. The department projects this year's total to increase by 10% to $4 billion. The estimated numbers haven't been this high since 2011. However, they are still less than that record of more than $5 billion. Officials believe the increase is due to expected payments from the Inflation Reduction Act to support a bunch of different conservation programs, like the Environmental Quality Incentives Program and the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next farm bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this farm bill coverage.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. The House Ag Committee's Farm Bill markup is scheduled for Thursday. USDA's yearly farm labor report comes out Wednesday. And finally, the Ag Subcommittee of the House Appropriations Committee will meet Wednesday to talk about nutritious foods in the SNAP program. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Hannah Pagel. Take care of yourself.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.